Like to call to order a special meeting of the Madison Plains Board of Education. Hopefully, these microphones are working a little better tonight. Good. A roll call, please.
Mr. Mason?
Here.
Mrs. Zanikas? Mr. Butts?
Here.
Mr. Coburn?
Here.
Mrs. Cooley?
Here.
Mr. Detweiler and I are also here.
Please stand for the saying of the Pledge of Allegiance.
Bob, will you?
Sure.
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I don't see any names signed up here, but is anyone interested in participating in public communication tonight? All right. Please state your name. Go to the podium.
Brian Holbert. I've been to a lot of the meetings. I've seen everybody there. And, you know, the big thing now on the agenda is what do we do, a property tax or the income tax? It seems like just lately the income tax is becoming more and more what people are talking about. And to me, I don't know if I have enough information for me personally on how it's going to affect me. I can look at the numbers and see how it would affect me based on what I'm seeing, but I don't know how it's really going to affect at all. But I don't also don't have enough how it's going to compare to what the other school districts. You know, I heard something today and I haven't been able to verify it. Is London's income tax based off of all income or just earned income? Do you know that? Because I was told it was based off of all income. So if we're trying to look at how we compare to the other districts, that could be a big difference. But the other thing is we talked about not doing anything drastic, but we're going to go from zero to now being maybe tied for the highest in our county. So from zero to 1.25% on an income tax is something that, you know, me, I have to look at it financially for myself as well, how that's going to impact me. You know, so honestly, I don't know what is the best rate to do. It's going to impact everybody one way or the other. Whether you do the property tax, whether you do the income tax, I don't know. It's a tough decision because it's going to impact this person, but maybe not this person, but this person could be impacted that way. So I don't know. It is really a tough decision. And honestly, I don't even know if I can say whether or not I'm for this one or that one because I don't know all the information yet. I have to do that myself. So, but it's tough. I don't know. So yes, I know we need the money. I've been around long enough to a lot of the meetings. I know a lot of the cuts that we've done. And we're not, I mean, I guess we'll find out come February when we get the audit, but I don't hear any frivolous spending. I don't hear anything silly being done. It's just like now we're down to the nuts and bolts of what's really going on. And we have no choice. We got to get some money in there to help the schools, you know. So, and I'm for it. I'm all about it. But what is the best way to make it fair across the board is what I'm looking at. What's fair for everybody. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your input. Would anybody else like to speak?
Hello, everyone. I'm Todd Fisher. I most know most everyone. To reiterate what Brian said, it's a tough decision. Whatever's selected, the school and the community has to get behind it. My fear is we choose the wrong one and it doesn't work, and we second guess ourselves come the end of May, and there's really, really hard execution of bad things that have to happen next school year. So that's very hard. I know you guys are in a really tough position. So either way, one way hurts me. One way hurts me a little less. But my kids are what's going to matter, and the neighborhood kids that are around us is really what's going to matter. So either way, I'll be supportive of what we do. One will hurt. One will hurt a little bit less. So thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? So now we'll turn to board work session.
And within the board work session section, you have the two resolutions. These are the second resolutions. The last meeting, the board approved. the first resolution for emergency operating levy, as well as for an income tax to be placed on the May ballot. Tonight, one of these will be recommended after debate as to which one will be placed on the ballot, which one will be recommended to the board tonight for approval. Before we go through those, we have other information that we could go through. We can go through the survey if you like, go through a little more detail there. I know Todd has information as well to share, so I don't know if you want to talk about the resolutions, you want to talk about your numbers, you want to get through the PowerPoint first.
I can throw up the numbers real quick. I sent you guys some information earlier, kind of a quick summation of the two and how they compare. Tim's elaborated a little bit more on how what the effect is on different people in the PowerPoint, but the numbers themselves, an income tax, of course, as it's proposed, 1.25%, continuing period, generates an estimated $1,967,166 annually. The amount will increase or decrease based on the increase or decrease in our district's resident adjusted gross earned income. The increase has been 2% on average over the last 10 years. It's estimated to collect $10,237,211 over 5 years, assuming that 2% growth. And it does not affect the 20 mil floor. In comparison, the property tax would be for 6.264 mils. The required mils are higher than the 5.953 mils requested in August 2017 due to a 17% decrease in agricultural values caused by CAUV reductions. The tax burden is shifted by approximately 8% from agricultural to residential from 2017 to 2018. In 2017, it was 37% residential, 63% agricultural. And in 2018, that shifted to 45% residential, 55% agricultural. The property tax would be for a 5-year period, and it would generate a fixed $2,050,000 annually. The amount will not increase or decrease. It's anticipated to collect $10,250,000 over the course of the 5-year period. It does not affect the 20 mil floor either. So that's the information that I have. Both solutions will get us through 5 years in the forecast, which is what was requested by the board. We've got the pro and con.
This is just simply this a lot of the same points, but it's just a pro and con list. We jump right to the emergency operating levy. The pros, we've talked about these in the past. The emergency operating levy is easily understood. It's for a set dollar amount. Folks have seen that before. It's a fixed term. As Todd pointed out, doesn't impact the 20 mil floor. The amount paid by taxpayers can't increase above the amount voted on. So, you know, as your property values rise and fall, the amount the school's getting stays the same. And that's why I said taxpayers, because it's the entire tax base. The cons, that operating levy hits the farmers hard. We know that, we've heard that. The tenants only pay indirectly through their rent. And it's a non-diverse tax base that we have, which places the burden of this tax on farm owners and homeowners. The other levy option, the income tax, it's also easily understood. 0.25% of your earned income, and everything you'll see from now on says earned income, so there's no confusion. It's only on earned income. Doesn't impact 20 mil floor. Taxpayers may be able to shoulder their tax burden through businesses such as a farm business. Taxpayers living off of a pension or investment income will be exempt from the tax. And tenants will pay the tax directly through wage deductions. The cons, only residents of the district will pay the tax. And it's never passed in Madison Plains in our history.
How many times have we put it on before?
3 times.
How long? Over 10 years ago?
2005 was the last time.
2005. I just remember that. Thank you.
And then, and I know you couldn't be there last night, I just pointed out that the problem with that in 05 was it followed an 8 mil passage of an operating property tax.
Yeah.
So it was the very next election, and that's why, one of the reasons it was beaten back, we feel. So, again, these are just pros and cons, kind of simplifying the points Todd was making, and it'll stay on his website. The next piece of information Mr. Mason, we have is the survey, if you'd like us to go through that.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one. Okay, we sent out a survey to all of our email addresses. We also sent that out via our MP Facebook page. And we'll see here in a moment that I'm glad we did that because we had nearly as many responses from just our Facebook posting as we did from our direct email request to do the survey. So it shows it's a pretty powerful tool. We had 207 responses out of at least the 670 direct emails. So that's a good response rate. We asked the question, are you a parent or guardian? And this is, again, demographical to see who we're talking to. And you see that a large portion of those folks were parents. And you can see the next slide breaks it down by the actual numbers. 63%, 129 of the respondents are a parent or guardian of a student in Madison Plains.
Where are we getting the emails from people that aren't parents or guardian? How do we capture people's information like that?
That's the challenge for it, it always has been. Getting those email addresses is gold, and it's hard to get that information.
The ones we have, we've just gotten?
Over time, we've accumulated them just by conversations. You know, somebody emails me with a question, we dump it into the database. So, are you a graduate? Again, to see if they went to school here. A larger portion were not graduates. I thought that was interesting. So, there's your actual numbers. Go to the next. And I wanted to see if what portion of our respondents actually graduated from a high school that is no longer open in our district. It's a very small portion, and we can go to the next slide and you can see five respondents. I just wanted to see out of the group if we had any of those folks. Do you know that the Madison Plains School District is running out of operating funds and will run out by the end of 2018-19? I was very pleased to see that yes, and I'm glad the majority of our parents, who were probably these respondents, said yes, they were fully aware of that. So 182 folks said yes, we know, we've heard that. So I'm glad that that information is out there. Are we considering placing a levy on the May 18 ballot to address the projected general fund deficit? Please check the levy type you would be most likely to support if placed on the May ballot. An earned income tax was the number one, emergency was number two, and I wouldn't support anything is number three. Raw numbers, you can see 53% of the respondents, 109 folks, said they're an income tax. And one thing I'll point out, this survey, I had it basically closed. If you completed the survey and were done, it automatically closed. You couldn't go back in and change your mind and put something else in. It was also unique to the machine. So if you were on your PC, you couldn't submit multiple times. So I tried to make it where we weren't getting the same person submitting a dozen times. The emergency operating levy was at 30%, 62, and then those folks that would not support was roughly 17% or 34. So I wanted to know why they couldn't support a new tax. At this point, most of them, I don't believe Madison Plains has managed their funds well, was the number one other than NA at 12.7%, 25 folks out of 207. I'll be quite honest with you, that's not a bad percentage. When you ask the general public, do you think any district has managed their funds well, you're going to have a certain percentage that says, no, I don't. So I'm very pleased that number is below 20%. We've had numbers much higher than that in the past, so I thought that was good. And that we have 72% of the folks that say they would support a new tax. So moving on. That's what we got as feedback. What I passed out to you a little bit ago before you got here was actually the verbal responses. And again, to put it up on the screen, there's a lot of them. So I apologize for that. And we will share this survey along with these responses to the public. But I wanted the board to have a chance to see this tonight first. So this information, there's a lot of good information in here, but it's primarily focused, I thought, a lot of the comments on what we should do to reduce our budget. Should take that into consideration on the 20th. But the That's the survey that we got.
To talk about the survey a little bit, I think the number as far as would support a levy being high is not surprising, considering who primarily we're talking about, parents. But I was talking with Corey. I think one positive from it, though, is their preference on income tax versus property tax. That's not necessarily biased, right? You know, I mean, it's going to affect them just like it affects everybody else. So that's where I put the most weight from what I saw. Not necessarily that they would support the levy, because hopefully we can earn the parents, you know, support for a levy. But that's personally the takeaway that I took from it, is I do think there's value to get 202 residents of our district to give their thoughts on that. I don't know if you have anything else you'd like to present to us.
We can walk through the actual resolution to make sure everybody understands it. Again, I'm not trying to stretch things for Tula, but I want to make sure
just so you guys know, Tula's been stuck in traffic. Tula's Anika, since she's on her way. But if he doesn't have anything else, how I plan to do this for us is just give everybody a chance to discuss it and have an open back and forth on the pros and cons, and you know, see what consensus we have on the options that are on the table. You want to start us, Corey?
I just had a quick question back to the survey real quick, because I know we've talked several meetings, and I know Timmy mentioned that impact as far as communication has always been kind of a struggle or a work in progress. And you mentioned that a lot of the responses came from Facebook. I would be curious to see the numbers of the people that responded to the survey using social media versus your email database that you sent out to, just to see what means are parents getting the information, and are they reading the emails? Is it social media or so forth?
Yeah. 81 of the responses to the survey came from social media.
81.
I looked at that. I did this. I just didn't print that out, but it was 81.
No, that's fine. I appreciate that.
Okay.
Going to the both levy options. To be honest with you, I'm kind of torn between the two. I've talked to several folks about both of them, just to figure out what are the residents thinking. Obviously, if we can't get them to come to a meeting, then I guess we have to go to the living room to find out. And a lot of people are supportive of both. Obviously, the agricultural community, at the impact meeting last night, there were a couple of representatives there watching it. And I felt they were pretty vocal in favor of the earned income tax versus the property tax, correct me if I'm wrong. And I think the senior citizens of the community are going to benefit, and the folks that are on the fixed income are going to benefit from having an income tax. So I'm kind of torn as far as, you know, then you've got some folks that say, no, it's cheaper for me to pay the property tax because I'm living in a $100,000 house versus, you know, paying the income. You know, so at the end, we have to look at what is best for the kids. What are we going to be able to produce enough income to last us for the 5 years? The concern was brought up, I think, last night at IMPAC and also to me in person, is that the income tax is pretty well permanent. It's on there forever. It's not coming off like the property tax, which is termed at 5 years, correct?
Correct.
If someone says, well, you could go back and get them to take it off and do away with it. Well, I've never heard of any government entity giving tax money back, so it would be the first. So I'm just torn as far as what is going to be best for the district and also best for the residents. And that's kind of where I'm at. And it's tough because, A, you're never going to make everyone happy, and, two, you're never going to get a true consensus of the residents. And based upon the August election results, I think that the district is going to have to work extremely hard to pound the pavement to get this to pass, either direction we go in. And looking at the income tax on your slide, at the bottom of the cons, it states on there, it's never passed in the district. So the one question that's asked to me is, why do you think it's going to pass now? And it's a valid question. You know, what are we going to do different now that we haven't done in the past?
Yeah, I agree with you. We've only tried it three times. We don't have that stat of how many times we've failed operating levies, but it's
way more substantial.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so, I mean, I get what you're saying, but you know, we don't have a great track record with either of them. And we have a small sample size, you know, and basically in a one-year window, I believe, 2005 or six when we did the income tax.
I think, thanks, and I agree with you. It's a challenging decision, and of course we're tasked with what's best for the children and the future of the children. I think 55% of our population is agricultural and farmers, and I think that affects them and hits them the worst for a property tax, which has not been successful, I think, for that reason, because we are primarily agriculture. And I mean, I really think that when I joined the school board for 5 years ago, my first question was to Tim, right? Do you remember? Why don't we have an income tax? My first question. I was that forward-thinking, Christy. Yeah. But when we were just looking at the five-year forecast and the 10-year plan, and we were really talking about the finances, and I was trying to understand because we were putting a levy on, and I just didn't understand the differences, right? And I think a lot of people, that'll be our task, right? Communicating to the public what the differences are. What is that impact on your earnings, right? So you talked about that earlier. I mean, how does it impact me financially? Because that's what everyone cares, what's in it for me? What how does it affect my child, right? So if we, I think, do a really good job articulating that and showing those differences at whatever pay ranges we can show, what those numbers are, just to help explain it clearly, as transparently as we can. And then we've got to really send that message to the community and have more conversation and get the people behind it. Because while you said parents, 81% of, how many percentage of the parents were
81
on that survey?
Respondents.
Social media?
Social media.
So, was that, hi Tula. We had a low turnout for parents on our last election. So that, I think, would certainly be a focus that I would like to see us direct our efforts towards. Because our parents, they care about their children. Not that people don't, but they care about their children, that education, and where that's going. They make that decision every day to send their child here, and we owe them that. So, just my thoughts on that.
Thank you.
I represent the board at the impact meetings. I think it was clear last night that, and from the survey, that the community prefers the income tax over. I don't necessarily, but I think that's what the community prefers, the income tax levy. I think that since we are primarily agriculture, the income tax actually would help us in that area to get those voters to vote for the levy. We definitely need a levy, and I think the most people understand that we need the levy. And I have talked to people outside of the impact, and I see a difference in some of the people I talked to back in August when we put on that operating levy. I had people that were adamant they would never vote for a levy. Those same people now are changing. I think they see the need, they understand the need now. And I think that those people favor the income tax over the property tax. When you talk to some of these people that own property and they're on fixed income or retired, they're going, I just can't afford this. But again, fixed income or retired, and we're only taxing earned income, we have support. So that's where I'm at. So.
Yeah. Tula, we're just having a board discussion.
Yeah.
Open, you, whatever your thoughts are, maybe you'd like to share.
I did receive feedback from parents that attended the meeting, and also, can everybody hear me? I'm sorry. Okay. I did receive feedback from parents that attended the meeting, and it's mixed out there, a little bit concerning. There's a lot of people that provided feedback that said, hey, I don't own the property that I live on. So they're the ones that are mostly concerned about an income tax levy. However, there's a lot more that are more concerned about the property tax based on the feedback that I received. So, I mean, just based on just the feedback that I received from folks, I tend to lean towards the income tax. From my opinion, I mean, I'm going to vote for it either way, whichever we put on there, but I think we have to really understand our facts in this situation and how many we are affecting by both choices, and pick the best solution moving forward.
Thank you. You know, I think about what lessons have we learned from the from the August levy and also from the renewal in November. I think one thing that we've learned is how we communicate to people. We made an investment in sending postcards out to every registered voter in the district. And I think it hit some people that normally were not getting, you know, their input. But we took a lot for granted, at least I did personally, in August. We don't want to do that again. Also, the balance that we have to do is expressing the, you know, seriousness of our financial situation and how that impacts the quality of the education that we can present, while not holding it over people's head that, hey, if you don't vote for this, drastic things are going to happen. Okay, that's the delicate balance that both of all of us have to figure out. But I think communicating clearly, if we go income tax, and you put it as a pro as far as easy to understand, that earned income portion of it, I don't necessarily agree that that's easy for everyone to understand. I understand what you're saying,
yep.
But
the calculation.
I think it's key that we have to explain it, and that's in individual conversations. Hopefully, we'll send another postcard out explaining that, and we'll send emails out, and we'll have meetings, and we'll do all that kind of stuff. But it's really in the relationships that we build that we get out there, and we get true information out there. That document from the state, I think, is very helpful. You know, it helped explain to me, you know, a lot about the income tax levy and how that will affect people. Everybody's talking about how difficult this is. This is not great. Nobody wants their taxes to go up, especially people that have paid a lot of taxes over the last few years. They don't want that. But what we have to sell is that we have a lot of good things going on at this school. Our grade card's headed in the right direction. We have a lot of good people, and we are, what we believe, wise stewards of the people's money. All right? And that's what we have to sell, no matter which direction we go. And like I said, it's basically, to me, we have a recent, you're right, 10 years ago, income tax failed miserably. We have to learn lessons from that. But in August, less than 6 months ago, 30 to 70% property tax failed miserably. Now, a lot of that's on us. We did not do a good job selling it. Was it 21 points worth of not selling it? I don't know. But, you know, all we can do is try to be open to the people coming. You know, those are the two most involved parents sitting right there, and I appreciate, you know, you guys' input. But for whatever reason, it's hard to get people's input. So we're left with a survey. Did you get many people that called in to
No.
give their...
No.
Give their input?
I actually had a couple former board members that I spoke to that gave me some information, but it was primarily more along the lines of, what are you considering for budget reductions? It wasn't really do an income tax or a property mm-hmm. tax. They really weren't going that way because both of them had to make those decisions in the past. They really didn't want to give their 2 cents this time.
Well, we touched on that last night, that either from the state audit or just our own individual, we will cut still where we believe it's appropriate that doesn't affect the quality of the education. That's our duty to always be looking for stuff. And I hope the state audit has stuff that we can look at and say, yes, that makes sense, let's cut. So this isn't just give us this money so we can sit back, relax, and, you know.
I think one way to put that in a different way is that we've always sought efficiencies in our budget and all of our operations. And anytime we saw those efficiencies, we targeted those and we tried to make that portion of the operation more efficient. The difference is a budget reduction list is you're getting closer to program reductions. And efficiencies, you're not cutting a program, you're making it run more efficiently. A budget reduction, you're saying this person, this program won't be here now for our kids. So to me, there's a big difference between a budget reduction and just looking for efficiencies. And that's where I think last night we were saying the same thing, because I agree with you wholeheartedly that we always look for efficiencies and have for years now. But
I don't think a budget reduction necessarily means the reduction in the quality of our programs. It's where we do the budget reductions. And if we pinpoint areas that doesn't affect the quality of education, which is what we should be doing, then we're doing our job.
Right. What I'm saying, though, is you're not truly doing a budget reduction. You're making your budget more efficient, is what I'm saying. We're saying the same thing, basically. In my mind, you're going to keep the program, so you're going to make it run more efficiently, and you're going to save dollars doing it.
I'm saying is I don't believe it's necessary to cut teachers or programs.
I hear you.
I would just like to add, too, that we have a demonstrated level of efficiency in the district as well. We haven't just professed that we're being efficient. Our expenditure history has shown that we've been efficient. We've kept our expenditures below what our cost of living and step increases have been, which is a feat in itself. So not just professing it, but having a demonstrated ability to keep our expenditures at a low level in these tough times, I think, is important too. That shows the public that we have truly been good stewards of their dollars.
I think we need to make clear, though, to the public that we are looking at budget reductions, and we are. It's necessary. I mean, we have an audit going on right now. They're going to make suggestions. We are looking at budget reductions, but even with the budget reductions, we have to have either a new operating levy or an income tax. We don't have a choice. We cannot cut enough to get out of the hole, and we have to make that clear to the public.
Do you think it will help us if we started specifying the areas that we're looking at?
I don't think we should specify the areas we're looking at. As long as they understand we are looking at the areas. When we start specifying the areas we're looking at, then I think the public starts taking that as threatening, you know? And we don't want to do that.
Well, the one concern that I have is some of the feedback that I received is we have good quality teachers that are starting to look for other positions outside our district. That would be a concern to me. If we're looking at good education and maintaining a good education, I think we have to be a little more open with at least our teachers.
I sat right here and said, I'm not interested in cutting teachers or programs. I think that is what makes the school.
Correct. But we should communicate that to at least our teachers.
Exactly, yeah.
Because we're starting to lose.
We can communicate that. I don't want to be a school board that goes out and say, we're getting rid of sports, or we're getting rid of this.
Yeah.
No,
you don't want to say that, but our teachers, I think we have to protect.
That's the concept of leading with the positive, right?
Right.
That is not, you know, we're going to be good stewards and we're going to have a plan. And I do think we don't wait till May to make the, if there's consensus on cuts we can make right now,
right,
especially after the audit comes back, whatever, we make those right now.
Oh, I agree.
You know, it's not a matter of we'll wait until see how the levy goes.
Totally agree.
I agree with you 100%. I think that we need to demonstrate to the voter, if you read the three pages here that Tim gave us of survey answers, and also I think there was a couple of questions last night during the impact meeting. I don't think by, you know, after the auditors comes back February 20th, we look at, you know, their results, their findings, we have discussion. I don't think by saying that, hey, you know, here's a proven area that we can make some efficiency improvements on or adjustments here and there. I don't think that's basically threatening the voters. You know, hey, you got to vote for this, you know, or else. I think it's demonstrating to the voters that, hey, we are trying to stretch that very last penny as far as we possibly can. We've got some recommendations in front of us, some efficiency improvements, and we're going to act upon them. I think that we're not doing our due diligence if we push it and we wait to do it after the election. If we get it in February, I think we need to act upon it.
That's what we're saying.
Yeah,
we should. But acting upon it in advance and improving the efficiency and making the reductions we need to make, that's not threatening the voter.
Correct.
That's doing due diligence.
It's our job.
Yeah. Tom, can you pull that, it's a map of Madison Plains with the other schools around it? I tried to ask this question last night. I don't know if I asked it articulately enough, but I think it may be going to what Brian says. This is the property tax, if it passes, is what's in green there, the 942.
It's $20 more than that, but yes.
And this may be a dumb question, but does the income tax would that be comparable as far as what it, because I know those other ones include their income tax.
Yeah, correct.
Is built in.
If you remember on the income tax certification from the Department of Taxation, it lists a millage equivalent on that. The millage equivalent was from the 2016 values, and it listed the millage equivalent at 5.71 mils. So yes, if we plug that 5.71 mils in, it would be equivalent essentially to the same that we were asking for the 6.2 mil property tax, because that 5.71 mils is actually a little higher based on 2017 values.
So it would be similar.
It would be closer to the 6.2 mils than the 5.71, I believe, yes.
So while it would affect individual people differently, each of the two of them, on average, it equals out.
Right. The cost per $100,000 would remain roughly the same, whether that's $100,000 of income or $100,000 property value, as that's presented, as we have it as a property tax equivalent with the income tax.
Based off its millage equivalent.
Right. We really are trying to decide on how it's going to be best divided amongst the voters.
Right, so if either of those two passed, we'd still be either lowest or second lowest out of all of the...
Yes, based on what's up there, correct.
So how did the attendees last night respond to this map?
It was like everything else, mixed. I mean, I think most people can look at this map and appreciate that we have the lowest taxes. I mean, at least I hope people can appreciate that. But it still boils down to how it personally affects them. Typically is what it's based on. Anybody have anything else? All right. You want to make a recommendation to us?
Yes, I'll do it by actually passing something in. All right, what you have in front of you is actually an action item. It is the action item that relates to recommendation from the superintendent to the Board of Education to place a 1.25% earned income tax levy on the May 8th, 2018 ballot. My recommendation is that based on everything we've seen so far and based on the fact that, as Kelly pointed out, our biggest concern on an income tax for the last 5 years has been that 05 year, and we didn't want to waste an attempt on the ballot for something we thought was a futile effort. I remember sitting in this room many times when we had that debate, and income tax was immediately, no, it's the pariah, because it failed so miserably. I think we're in a different time. I know we've pointed to August quite a bit, and we should learn from that. But we also have to remember it in last year, we also had no relief in CAUV for our farmers at all, and so they were very upset, and rightfully so. I think we're in a little bit different environment. Two things have occurred. State of Ohio adjusted the CAUV, and Todd has presented on that several times, so that's calmed some of that edge. The federal government, of course, has changed the income tax code starting next year, so there's a little more relief there, hopefully, that will impact people when they go to the voting booth. So it's changed the environment for an income tax here in Madison Plains. I think the chart that Todd has put up several times, you asked him to put up there, is very strong evidence for two things. Our community does a nice job of supporting the district and always has, but not to the level of the surrounding districts. A lot of folks have said to me in the past, you know, if the school just folds up, then we'll go to the neighboring district. And the follow-up sentence has to be, you're going to pay more taxes. Because if you leave Madison Plains and go to any other district, you're going to pay more taxes one way or another. So we have been a bastion of a fair tax in this district as far as how much we're taxing folks. But again, 13 years later, on the same income, we can't make it any longer, period. So I am in consensus with what I've heard from the board and from the community so far, that we should go with an income tax, with the one caveat: we can't shift gears again. If we run an income tax, we better stick with it, because if you keep shopping for a levy that'll pass, you'll never pass. So that's where I'm at, is if we feel this is the one, we've got to stick with it. That's the one piece of this I really feel pretty adamantly about. So my recommendation is the income tax be placed on the ballot. You have an action item in front of you. So that's my recommendation.
Real quick, the one of the reasons I do not necessarily support the income tax is because I feel that we put an emergency operating levy on in August, and we are shifting gears. You know, and that's one of the reasons. But of course, I don't get to vote the way I want to vote. I get to vote the way the public tells me to vote, and they're telling me to vote income tax. So.
All right.
Mr. President, I make a motion that upon recommendation of the superintendent, the board approve the following resolution: resolution proposing the levy of an additional annual tax for school district purposes on the earned income of individuals, and determining to proceed with the submission of said levy as listed below.
Second.
Discussion. Vote.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.
Motion carries 5-0.
I don't believe we have any other matters.
Just to report the next meeting and what we'll be doing at that meeting.
All right. The next meeting is the regular scheduled meeting. It's February 20th at 7 o'clock here in the district meeting room. That one in particular, as we mentioned, we'll look at potential cuts that we can have as a budget balancing plan. Thank you.
Motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting. 6:18.
Second.
Roll call.
I'm sorry.
Mrs. Cooley?
Yes.
Mr. Butts?
Yes.
Mr. Coburn?
Yes.
Mrs. Anikas?
Yes.
Mr. Mason?
Yes.